This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we are here the day before Christmas.
I'm feeling festive.
I hope you all are having a safe time doing your emergency last-minute shopping.
When the guys shop. What are you talking about?
Dave will be starting his Christmas shopping right after the noon hour.
At 6 p.m. tonight.
Or you might need that special something for what's going to go in the oven tomorrow or any of that. But be careful out there. There's a lot of people on the road going over the river and through the woods. I know I will be at some point this week as well to visit the in-laws. And anyway, it's holiday week. And I appreciate you sticking with us, and maybe you're in the car and headed off to grandmother's house. But I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I've been thinking a lot about this. I've heard Merry Christmas a lot more this year than I have in the past.
Me too.
From clerks at stores, from people I just run into in line at a restaurant or something. And people seem to, I don't know, feel emboldened not to be politically incorrect or whatever and say Happy Holidays or...
certainly saying it a lot louder in these days.
Well, as you know, if you're a regular listener to Newsmakers, my family tradition, my faith tradition is with Christianity, and we'll be celebrating the birth of Christ tomorrow. And I know that society just full on, understandably, expects me to not hate, not ridicule, and not discriminate against people who do not share my faith.
Right.
And all I ask is that they not hate and ridicule and discriminate people of my faith.
Good.
We talked
point.
About just a tiny bit yesterday. We were talking to Commissioner Craig Pope, and I mentioned Ricky Gervais, who is a comedian. He's from England, and he's hosting the Golden Globes. And I can't stand him. You know, I just can't. He's the most anti-Christian, just nasty, mean-spirited. Sarcastic, and against people of faith. And I'm just shocked that anybody would hire him and elevate him to a role like this when we're living in an era of hypersensitivity. We're living in an era of hyper-tolerance and, you know, everyone's offended by everything. You're going to elevate this person to host this worldwide show who actively and repeatedly and incessantly insults anybody who has any faith background.
Let me ask you, when was the last time you watched the Golden Globes?
Last January.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I watch most every year. Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, you're not a movie.
I used to watch them all the time.
Yeah.
I haven't watched them for like probably the last 5 years.
Yeah. And you know what? You watch it because it's more entertaining than the Academy Awards, although it's not really even relevant. You know, the Golden Globes, it's the Foreign Press Association, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Yeah.
Folks, if you don't know what that means in the industry, it's basically the industry that sells American films for international release,
right?
And the press having to do with international releases for Hollywood movies. So what relevance does that have? And a lot of times it's skewed towards what sells in Europe. It's skewed towards what sells in China. You know what I mean? It may have nothing to do with the American box office.
A lot of foreign film.
American culture, American priorities, any of those things. So it's, you know, it's a bit overblown, but sometimes it's entertaining. But I won't be watching this year. Thank you very
much.
Me
either.
You need to put somebody out there who is not full of hate.
You were reading some of his tweets.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Oh, and those are soft. I mean, if you
those
watch,
were soft?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, he just flat out says that you are stupid. And just ridicules, shamelessly ridicules. So,
wow.
Yeah, sorry, can't go there.
Like a bully.
I try not to. Oh, that too. Yeah.
He sounds like a bully.
You don't have to believe what I believe.
No.
You know, but I don't go around, and I suppose some Christians do. But I don't go around telling you that you're an imbecile and you're, you know, condemned to hell, Hades. And
again, sounds like a bully.
Anyway, All right, so I don't expect others to hate or ridicule, discriminate against me or my family or people who are of the body of Christ, but I, And in turn, they don't expect us to hate, ridicule, and discriminate. I kind of said that backwards.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's get on to a couple news items. It's the day before Christmas, so I was going to keep it kind of light of things that are good news, right?
Sure, you start out with the heavy stuff first.
Well, it is Christmas.
Okay. It was relative.
I mentioned yesterday that maybe Salem got, the citizens of Salem got a Christmas present because last week Commissioner Kaser decided she's not going to run for re-election.
Well,
so we'll have her with us till the end of next year. She has a hand-picked successor, so now we know who to not vote for.
Gotcha.
So if you're not familiar with this, this is Ward 1, folks. If you live in Ward 1, we could use a candidate to
Did
run
you say
against.
Counselor or commissioner?
Counselor. Counselor Kara Kaser. City counselor.
Yep. Okay.
Also known as Bridge Killers. Right?
Yes.
So not running again. No. Bridge Killers, homeless encampment, plastic bag ban, you know, everything that was your top priority in the city, right?
Right.
So forth. Anyway.
Did they get the straws, too?
I think that's, not yet. I think that's good news. Oh, or did they pass the thing that you can't get a straw unless you ask for one? I always get
confused. I think it was that one. Yeah, I'm confused about that as well.
All right. So that's one thing. It's in my mind, it's good news, and hopefully it will be good public policy news for the city of Salem. However, we need somebody strong and dedicated and practical who will serve the city and all of the city, not just a 10% fringe of the city.
Yeah, the entire city.
Yes. It's we talk about this with the governor, Kate. And are you the governor of the metro area or you are the governor of the entire state? And that's the same thing. If you're going to sit there elected by whoever elected you, you now represent everybody, including the people who did not agree with you and who did not vote for you or whatever. You represent everybody. And if 8 out of 10 of them want something, it's your responsibility to vote that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
that goes up with the president, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And we see that, too, with presidents, you know, move to the middle as soon as they take office. And it, there's two realities about that. One, hopefully they have some semblance that doesn't matter what if they're coming from a blue state or a red state. It doesn't matter if they're a D or an R. They are now the president of all of the United States.
Right.
And the other practical thing that affects that is the president is not going to get their campaign promises passed by a legislature, which is usually split.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then there's just the pure fiscal or a political reality of it.
Well,
and so that, forth.
That's where the working across the aisle comes in. And that should apply all the way down to the city council.
There you go. Even though they're nonpartisan.
So what?
Okay. So another,
they don't act like
another
it.
Christmas present, folks. We missed my bleed into the next segment. But Kate Brown, I've been critical of the leadership with foster kids. But
yes.
The foster kids and the foster kids systems, I think they're getting a little bit of a Christmas present. Hopefully a year from now, things will be better for those kids. And for the families that take them in.
It's taken too long.
And for the, yes, indeed. Amen to that. And for the people whose jobs were so impossible to do for lack of resources, lack of training, and so forth. So it's a mixed bag here. We're not happy about how this happened, although we're happy that some good things are happening.
Okay.
So in the Salem Reporter recently, an article about how Oregon spent $3.5 million with these consultants. When we were reporting this earlier, mm-hmm. I was criticizing that she'd signed a $1 million contract. And originally the contract was like $280,000 starting in May. So between May 2nd and the end of October, that $280,000 contract ended up costing $3.5 million.
Leave it to the government.
Wow.
To triple the cost.
More than that. One, no, that's like 12 times the cost.
Okay.
Oh.
But most of the time, most of the time is triple the cost.
Yeah,
let the government do it.
So, folks, Alvarez and Marsal, they're a consulting firm, and they've been tasked. Now, here's the thing about it that's really dismaying. The good news is they're putting together needs and procedures for training new people, getting new people, accountability, all sorts of things. And but then it begs the question, like, who was running the joint, right? It makes it sound like you really didn't have anybody competent running this joint. So this company, they consult and they help restructure businesses and private country companies, governments, and fix problems and so forth, right?
They could have called me.
They could, yeah. Well, yes.
I could have straightened that out in a week. Come on.
So when hired, the governor said that these consultants are going to focus on internal operations of DHS to improve internal practices and procedures. That's just a sad state of affairs that you have hired people, governor, to run this incredibly important agency, and they don't know how to make best practices, internal practices and procedures, right?
Makes you wonder what they were doing this whole time.
So, from the consultants...
Oh, boy.
They said that Oregon's foster care program struggles with prioritizing and carrying out projects, and that it should have set up, quote, roles, responsibilities, and measurable goals. Oh, my gosh, folks. Seriously?
Wow.
We're running an entire state division that doesn't have clearly set up roles, responsibility, and measurable goals. Like, kids don't die in foster care would be a nice goal.
Wow.
That we don't send them out of state, that we're prudent with the taxpayers' money, that we have a goal for how many people are returned to parents. I mean, what?
We need to take a break.
We need to take a break. Let's come back. We're not done with this.
About this one.
Wow. Good news and bad news today, the day before Christmas. Thanks for joining us here on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. We'll be right back.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, this beautiful 24th of December.
Merry Christmas.
I promised Dave I would not start to sing Christmas carols.
Please,
on
save
the car
me.
Here.
I heard you were good, but I don't want to hear it.
Okay. He doesn't want to hear it, folks. So we were talking before the break about DHS and the consultants that the governor hired under an executive order. Really, she was kind of able to extend that check.
I think I saved a couple of brain cells that you made explode.
Oh,
these consultants that came up with things that the DHS was lacking.
Yeah, like basic organization.
Seriously, how long has DHS been around? Seriously.
Yeah, it is. This is all connected, folks, and I don't know. If you're a longtime Newsmaker listener, you know it goes way back to the first Kitzhaber administration where he couldn't manage the DMV ODOT project, the modernization project.
Oh, DMV has been a problem for hundreds of years.
And even then, the goal at the time was a touch it once and done.
Yeah.
And that an individual who was updating, say, a driver's license, also updated the registration, also updated the...
Well, that only makes sense.
When one person could do it and it's done, it doesn't go through and so forth. Anyway, so the leadership and hiring good people, and I think for $3.5 million over 8 months is what the consultants got paid.
Right.
8 months of work. $3.5 million, you kind of wonder, could you have hired a top-notch business manager to whip that agency into shape? Because now you basically have a consultant coming in and saying, you're doing a terrible job and you need to do X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. And then they leave, and the person who's created the problem or was not part of the solution really
still there
has to execute it.
Yeah.
All right. So 7,000 kids in foster care.
How many?
7,000.
That's a lot.
Plus or minus in the state of Oregon. So the consultant said, you know, they're working to streamline licensing for foster care providers.
Wow.
Well, I like it. So we need more providers. We need more spaces for foster kids. They've taken out of their home because the problem with domestic violence, we're also with addictions, all sorts of things, unfit parents, incarceration, all sorts of reasons. So that's one thing. Streamline the licensing so you can get more. Thank you. How about increasing the demand, or increasing the supply, rather, of places that the kids can go?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was worth a million right there.
Sure.
Increased transparency in reviews of child deaths.
No brainer.
Yeah. And if we as a populace is not going to demand of our government that when a child dies in the government's, you know, care, there better be 100% transparency and accountability, people. So, hey, yeah, that's about another half million. That's pretty good advice right there. Pay for it's increased transparency of the review. And stop
you
hiding.
You see my right
something.
Hand? It's in the air. I could have done that for much cheaper.
So, good news, folks. Good news. And I did pick the topic because it's Christmas Eve. And the good news is they have made 345 conditional hires for new workers for DHS.
That's good.
That is a lot of bodies to dump into the system. And, of course, you're going to have to train them up. And that was part of the consultant's recommendation as well, as having, you know, solid training, you know, standards and procedures and programs and so forth. And I don't know, even someone who's not, doesn't have a lot of institutional knowledge, if we have, you're taking the burden away from somebody who was there and it was tasked with taking care of too many kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that was chronic. And of course you're going to have failures in the system. We're shipping our kids out of state because we don't have enough people.
That would be a problem.
So I'll take the new bodies, even if they have no institutional knowledge and they need to get trained up. So we're going to have to give them some grace to get trained up and so forth. But there's more people on the street. There's more people in the homes working with the families and the kids. And Governor, while you're at it, make sure that they all have a CASA and fundings to the court-appointed special advocates.
Yes.
Are also available to all of these kids. So 345 new hires. So that is great. So the job offers are conditional on completing their background checks and so forth.
And training.
So here's, I took one sentence in the entire article, which I want to do. And I didn't just highlight it. I highlighted it and bolded it. And if I could make it 18 font, I would have made it 18 font.
Wow.
Salem Reporter, folks, if you want to pick up the article. And hey, make a great Christmas present. You could just write a check and pay for somebody to have a subscription
for
the next year. Oregon DHS had known for years that understaffing put kids at risk thanks to multiple outside audits.
Let that sink in.
They've known for years, people. This is not a revelation for the governor or the previous governor. And how many audits does it take for them to say, we need to hire more DHS workers?
Let's see. Task force, committee, task force.
Consultant. Wow.
How many millions?
$3.5 million on this consultant
just
contract
on this one alone.
In 8 months. So
they've wasted years of committees and task force and consultants.
It's worse than that, Dave Warren. They've wasted some of these human beings' childhoods.
That too, because you're only a child for so long.
And a lot of great people can come out of the foster care system and a lot of great homes out there. But it does take work, and it takes making it a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they not a priority? It seems like illegal immigrants are more of a priority than Oregon's foster kids.
It does seem that way.
Like, let's make a priority, make sure they have driver's license, but you know, let's not hire any more DHS workers. I don't know. Maybe it's an unfair comparison, but it seems like everything is a priority more than these at-risk kids. So DHS, they're pushing to improve training for caseworkers. That's great. makes me wonder what kind of training they got before.
Right.
And was it notably insufficient? And how do you, I don't know. It's just very difficult to understand how you have caseworkers with insufficient training, and you know they don't have sufficient training, but you're not doing anything about it, and you need to spend $3.5 million for somebody to tell you, hey, by the way, you should train your people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently they have a lot of people signing up for these jobs, and they're stepping up to help the state. So contract for the consultants ends Friday. And so then they leave, and this is another telling sentence. A new management office at DHS will continue to drive the reforms. We certainly like to hope so. drawing a parallel again, which might be completely unfair, but, you know, it's my show.
Right.
Is when the DM project was going on in the 90s, they tasked the people whose jobs would be replaced by the automation and the technology with implementing it and training people on it. Do you think there was a problem there?
Just
so once
tad.
They were done with the job, they wouldn't have a job, but those are the people they slotted into it. It's like, would you please rub two brain cells together? From the mayor, from the governor, a spokesman for the governor said that she brought in the consultants because she wanted to see immediate and measurable progress to improve outcomes for Oregon's most vulnerable children and families. I applaud that comment.
That's
it just
one.
Can't be lip service.
No.
Okay? I'm going to give you credit for the 345 new hires. I'm going to give you credit for opening up the pocketbook, although I wish it didn't need to be done. So thank you, Governor Brown. I think I'm going to feel as though you did too little too slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully, a year from now and next Christmas, there will be fewer kids who are at risk who need a home. Experiencing adults having intercourse in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Experiencing abuse, being shipped out of state, which they're not doing anymore, but we still have Oregon kids in other states. So hopefully a year from now, we'll see great improvements. So
hopefully.
You want to take a quick break?
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Because I want to switch. I want to talk about a Salem nonprofit. This is a feel-good story. Feel-good story. And I'm one I'm going to vow to participate in 2020. Stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. I hope you're all being careful out there as you travel and prepare your last-minute needs and transportation for the Christmas holiday.
And stay out of the guys' ways because they're shopping today, like myself.
And, folks, if you're working tomorrow, I just wanted to thank you.
Yeah.
I know I've owned a retail store in the past, and some people volunteered to work Christmas or didn't volunteer but had to work Christmas. And, of course, our medical needs in our society don't stop.
Yes, first responders, nurses, doctors, medics, firefighters, police, everybody.
List is long, so thank you, all of you, whether you wanted to or not, but that you are stepping up and working a shift on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I know our family's tradition will be go to a candlelight service tonight, which is always fun. My wife cries 100% of the time. They can pretty much count on a candlelight silent night doing her in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's pretty touching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And extended family and so forth. So that'll be the DeHart family Christmas. We're blessed enough to have our two sons with us. So it's a good day. It's a good day.
Good day.
Hey, we were talking about, before the break, the foster care system getting a big boost from some consultants and a $3.5 million price tag over 8 months to tell the DHS to do things that I think most of us would assume that they should have been doing already.
They already knew it.
They
already knew it.
But maybe now with the consultants, the legislature and the governor can realize how much money it'll take and how many people it'll take to execute those. One thing that was interesting about the article is that it didn't mention that anybody was losing their jobs. People who were allowing caseworkers to have too much work or too little training or not enough accountability or not rules and procedures and so forth. And I don't know. So There's leaders in that organization and they could not do that. Maybe they shouldn't be the leaders. Hate to be harsh, but you know. It's kind of important.
Just saying.
All right. I promised something good, a feel-goody thing, and this has to do with food. And a nonprofit started as a couple people on a walk that had an idea. I love that. Salem Harvest. This is an article also in the in the Salem Reporter. Mm-hmm. And this is the one I said before the break that I am going to commit to participate in. Elise Bauman is involved in this and has been involved in since 2011. And this Salem Harvest, what they do is basically they go and harvest food that's not otherwise going to be harvested,
mm-hmm.
and get it to people who need it or to food banks,
right,
that need it and contribute it. And, you know, it's the number one thing that people really want is fresh foods at a food bank. There's only so many cans of chili or green beans or, you know, dried noodles or things like that. I mean, food banks doing great work, but nothing really replaces that great, you know, fruit and vegetables if you can get it. And that's really hard because you you have a timing issue because it has to be harvested and it has to not spoil. Right?
Yeah, that would be something to fight against.
So these people are volunteers. Right. There's one paid employee because it got to be so successful. And they're volunteers. And I think I saw like a 500,000 pounds and set a record on how much food that they delivered. And some people who are volunteers are people themselves that need the food. So allowed to keep some of the things that they harvest.
Right.
So in the article, there's examples of some green beans that got rejected from the cannery or the processor. And they were able to come and have the volunteer labor to make it available. And suddenly there's tens of thousands of pounds of fresh green beans.
Wow.
And also there was this example in the article about cauliflower. And the farmer had too much cauliflower because his source to buy them dried up and what have you, and said, well, we'll come to your fields and we'll harvest them. And boom, fresh vegetables. But it started with people on a walk going by somebody's fruit tree and the fruit's dropping to the ground and spoiling.
Like, right.
Wow, you know, there's so much wasted food in America that gets grown. Right? So Salem Harvest was born. Dick Yates is referenced in the article. It was him and his wife and the neighbors in South Central Salem. And the trees are falling, are dropping fruit. And they thought, well, let's just organize some people and we'll pick the fruit up and we're going to donate it to pantries and to charities and such. And that's how it started. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
So let's see, a crop of squash, Dick Yates told the story. It was not marketable because it got too big, which sometimes happens. You know, squash, zucchinis, it gets too big and it's not quite as good.
Right.
Although, I don't think you could still make some what's that squash soup that's made in restaurants all over the valley? It's so good.
I don't know. I've never had it.
Yeah, but you can pick it, or there's something that's not right for market. Like one other example was a watermelon that the heart of the melon didn't develop. But the rest of the melon's edible,
right?
But it's not going to go to market. You're not going to find it at Roth's Fresh Rushies. And so about half of what Salem Harvest picks and creates is donated to Marion Polk Food Share or food pantries in general across the valley. That's pretty amazing.
And I love
the fact
that
people there who are in need and could really benefit from not having to pay grocery store prices for fresh fruits and vegetables are able to come pick them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They volunteer their labor, they give away a bunch of it, and they take some home.
It tastes better, too, because they picked it.
That's right.
You know, you take a better, what do you call it? A little more.
You have ownership.
Ownership of it, yeah.
Right?
And tastes better.
Yeah, things are.
Because you picked it.
That's right. And yeah, if you picked it and prepared it, it's just like, yeah.
It's like a sandwich that, you know, my wife and I will make each other. Her sandwiches taste better than mine because she made it for me.
So this thing's grown since 2011. And now some of the food's going into Head Start programs for kids, food pantries.
That's important too. They need them.
Ms. Bauman says it's, quote, it's straight from farm to family.
There you
farm go. To family. So I don't understand. This is part that I didn't understand. They said the Salem Harvest is different from other food recovery organizations because the mission aims to feed people who are elderly, unemployed, underemployed, homeless, or low income. How is that different from other food assistance organizations? I mean, I like it. Seems like that's a great mission, but it's like, isn't that what all food banks really are?
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The constituency that they serve.
Yeah.
People could be working their way into a workplace and working part-time or been cut back in hours.
Sure.
Or just gaining first job skills. A lot of reasons why people are underemployed, in addition to being unemployed, elderly, homeless, low income. So Yeah, and just as you said, it was actually a quote in the paper that if you go and you're able to pick it, it provides a great psychological effect.
Sure.
So, hey, folks, so I'm going to participate. The DeHart household. We have a bunch of fruit trees ourselves.
Oh, that's right. You do.
It is in Polk County, and we've got apples and pears and plums and peaches and cherries. I don't know if I can share my cherries, though. That one's
I had a cherry tree. They're easy to share. Cannot eat all those cherries.
I am a glutton. All right. I might share some cherries, but I vow here on Christmas Eve next summer to reach out to Salem Harvest as the fruit starts ripening and see if some people want to come to the property and pick the fruit and give it to people and provide it for people that need it.
You're a good man, Brent DeHart.
Some very good stuff. There's some farmers credited in here. You know, these people are so amazing because there's so many volunteers, mm-hmm. and they all just come out and do this as a mission and do this manual labor. If the cauliflower is not easy to pick, you're going to have to get down on the ground, and trees, you're going to have to get on a ladder or an extension, and and they come out and get it done and help feed people with fresh fruits and vegetables. It's a good story.
So I feel better already.
One person said they added a tree. I don't get all the details, of course, but there were persimmons. They picked persimmons, and then there's plums and so forth. Anyway, they identified this one tree. The tree produced 110 pounds of fruit. One tree.
That's amazing.
Folks, now think about going into your local Roths, right, mm-hmm. or your Fred Meyer, wherever you're going. And how much does that apple cost per pound? Is it a dollar? Is it $2 a pound? It's just like this one tree or plums. And, you know, just the cost of that and what it's saving for the donors for Marion and Polk County Food Share. Mm-hmm. Not have to buy, right? And it's all getting donated and so forth. That's pretty cool stuff. So hopefully maybe we even have them on the show. But
that would be cool.
I will confess that a lot of my...
we had them on the show last year.
A lot of my fruit. It did hit the ground.
You don't remember that?
Not from Santa Harvest.
Yeah.
Oh.
I guess last year around this time.
It's time to send me off to pasture, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
And
Alzheimer's setting in.
All right, so I'm going to help next year. Yeah, it's good stuff. We're thinking about the generosity of others and inspires us to step up themselves here in this holiday season. I'm Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers the day before Christmas, and we're going to have one more segment for you, so stick with us on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. It is a privilege to be with you here on our shortened holiday week. What are we going to do for the rest of the week? I mean, people want to
play
in it. No, I mean the listener.
Oh, well, let's
They're
see.
Gonna hear...
Christmas Eve. Well, later this afternoon, we're going to have Christmas programming from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. as you're opening your gifts till noon is Christmas programming. And then we'll have... Mr. Gorka on filling in for us.
Oh, how nice, Mr.
Gorka. We had to pay him a little bit extra, but he'll be filling in for us on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
As we take a break here at KYKN.
Well-deserved little break.
That's right. Hey, thanks for joining us, though. This is the place to be for local talk here in the Mid-Valley. If you want to hear interesting servants like we had yesterday in Commissioner Craig Pope, it was nice to have two Polk County commissioners on this month.
Right.
With Lyle Mordhorst as well. I think this whole the dynamic between Marion and Polk counties is going to continue to be of more and more intricate and interest going into the future as West Salem continues to grow mm-hmm. and becomes a higher percentage of Polk County residents and voters.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole rural-urban divide the Polk County has. And, you know, you don't really see that. It seems to me that the commissioners are balancing it well. You don't have farmers stepping up and saying you're only paying attention to West Salem. And you don't have West Salemites saying you don't even know we're here. So,
hello, we're over here. Wait, the people that you wouldn't build the bridge for.
But it does remind me of the governor's failure to govern the state with an overall umbrella of rural and urban. And, of course, as we look to 2020, the national scene in what is a red state, what's a purple state, and what is a blue state. And somebody has to become president of all of them.
Can't we just call it a state? Does it have to be red, blue, or purple? Really?
Well, we have to label everything.
No, we don't.
Yeah, apparently.
It's a state.
Anyway, it's going to be an interesting year in 2020. So let's talk about something fun, shall we? Let's talk about things like eating yummy stuff.
Okay.
So we had,
it is lunchtime.
We had the owners on the show here on Newsmakers talk about Angel Share out in Turner. And Turner is in the process of building, well, Turner not itself, but out in Turner there's 100-plus homes being built by a reclaimed quarry lake. Has path around it. Very nice. I've got a couple friends that live out there. Have new homes out there. So there's some growth there in Turner, over 100 homes. And
wow,
that's a pretty
that's
substantial.
Impressive.
And that's just around the lake. There's also some developments going up on the hills above Turner. But there is not a lot of institutions for eating and shopping in Turner. And Angel Share has converted an old church into a tap house of sorts. And
yes, actually, I remember that.
I've been there a couple of times now. So article in the Statesman Journal, if you want to check it out online and look for restaurants that opened in 2019.
Okay.
So many ways that we can go and imbibe in a beverage and have a different kind of food. So 32 taps out there at the Angel Share. And do you remember what Angel Share, why they called it that?
I don't. I know they moved the church.
Yeah, it's in the church. The church was there. I learned this the last time I was there. The congregation that was in this little tiny church is the same congregation that gave birth to Church on the Hill in South Salem.
Oh, wow.
Between South Salem, I-5 exit, interchange, and Willamette Valley Vineyards. There's the Church on the Hill up there, and that's where they grew as their congregation grew. Anyway, it's quaint. It's fun to go out there. It's nice to get a little bit out of Salem. And it's nice for that surrounding area to have a place to go without having to come all the way to downtown Salem or something like that.
It's a long way.
Angel Share. Oh, yeah. Why call it that? So in distilling, when you're making these things in barrels, some of it succumbs to evaporation. And so you may fill the barrel with liquid, but when you open it up, it's not full anymore because some of it is evaporated through the wood. Through natural processes. And the part that dissipates is referred to as the Angel's Share.
Oh.
There you go.
Very
clever
cute.
Name, especially
clever.
Especially for a tap house that is in a church.
Right.
Now, this one I'm mad about because I don't need this kind of temptation, but Bear's Cat Bakehouse, donuts, yummy, fattening,
nice,
delicious things. That's on High Street, right downtown. 190 High Street, another sweet shop is all I need to tempt me. And I don't know if you can go by there and keep your New Year's resolutions or anything. So that's new. Beloved Cheesecakes, another one, a sweet one out in Silverton. A year ago, we saw a sweet shop open up in Independence. That's doing real well. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary, and I'm racking my brain to come up with the title. They do champagne and sweets, and now they're doing some savories as well, and you can go in for a sandwich and a coffee and things like that right in downtown Independence. Blue Garden Restaurant on Main Street in Dallas. I've heard about that one. I've actually had a friend say, hey, I heard about this new place, and we drove all the way to Dallas from South Salem to check it out and had a great experience. So that's kind of fun. So in Independence, there's a place called the Brew Tap House. It's coffee and it's tap house, right?
Okay.
So you go for your coffee, and
then
you come back later in the evening. You have a second reason to go. And they opened a second location, and it's old.
It's pretty brilliant, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of similar to what the Archive does downtown. And the Archive is, that's a great little enterprise down there. It's very creative. So you've got all these bottles of booze up there for the later night. But the times that I've been there for a cup of tea. I'm meeting with people. It's a great community meeting place.
So lunch tea? Is that what you went for?
No, just tea.
Oh,
just
no, not during lunch?
No. So the Brew Coffee and Tap House, well, they opened another location, and yes, I've been there.
Okay.
West Salem, Edgewater, not Wallace, but Edgewater in the old city hall from when West Salem was its own city. So it's got a little parking lot there. You're within viewing distance of where the Safeway is, folks, if you haven't seen it. But you can go in there and get a coffee beverage, or you can get a pint. Right?
Okay.
So that one's really fun. And all these things are new in 2019. What does this say about the Mid-Valley community and entrepreneurism and consumer confidence, you know, business owners' confidence, the bankers willing to loan to people opening up a new business and expanding? All of these things are really good signs, because there's going to be more things in this list than I can name.
Right.
In our segment. All right. I hadn't seen this before. Deanie's Weenies. Deanie's Weenies. It's a new hot dog spot. Oh, it's on Hyacinth.
Oh, nice.
So you can go in, and if you ask me, there's not enough places to sell hot dogs.
That's true.
Right? So I'm all in favor of this. This is in Hyacinth. I have driven by it. It's a little bit off of Portland Road, folks. It's near the industrial sector. I think it's my obligation as a talk show host in the community to sample their wares.
Just sample? Yeah.
I think I'm going to make special time to make sure I bring Dave Bourne in some of the weenies. and in that neighborhood, actually, there's this brew house in there as well. So
I think I've driven by that too. I know where you're talking
just
about.
Just off I-5 and Portland Road. No, yeah.
So yeah, okay.
Dough Hook Bake Shop, another bakery, Lancaster Drive. I only say it that way. It's so hard to resist temptation. It goes on and on. Filbert's Farmhouse Kitchen. I haven't been to that. It's in Aurora. We're heard in Aurora, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you listeners out in Aurora, there's a place for you to go check out Filbert's Farmhouse Kitchen. The picture looks fabulous.
Nice. And so
it goes on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, can you believe
stuff.
It?
Yeah.
So I just think it's great to see so many things. And I keep mentioning Independence because I frequent the place. But Gilgamesh is expanding out there. So there was another gentleman, an enterprise, who was preparing a spot for, you know, a brewery and tap house and restaurant, and decided, well, he wasn't going to get it done, and approached the folks at Gilgamesh. And now they're going to have another location out in Independence.
Wow.
They just expanded to West Salem. So really good stuff, folks. Commercial Street, this ramen place, Ibn Du.
Love ramen.
Tonkatsu ramen.
Mm-hmm.
I like the tonkatsu.
Yeah,
has a
good
little
stuff.
Egg in there, noodles. And, it's way on South Commercial, 3405 South Commercial. And, of course, we can't neglect to mention In-N-Out Burger.
Of course not.
Yeah, because we know you've been there.
I think I'm going to go there this afternoon. It's better.
Ramen Ikiban, however, closed. The owner retired and sold. And that was one of our favorites out in South Salem.
Mm.
Very Japanese. The owner's very Japanese. Does things exactly the right way and makes his own teriyaki and soy sauce and scratch. And considered about rice cooking nothing less than a fine art. And that was really cool. When you have somebody who's taking that kind of care for what we take for granted sometimes in our food. So, good stuff. Good stuff. A lot of things. Isaac's. And I'll be going to Isaac's. Actually, I was just there yesterday.
Mm.
And downtown. I love to support Isaac's because it's an offshoot of the Ike Box.
Oh, yeah.
And that ministry. And they're successful there. And they put people to work.
All
that,
good
that
stuff.
Need an opportunity. So, Isaac's for a cup of coffee or a sandwich is great. And that's it, folks. So many places to eat when you don't have enough of Christmas dinner, right?
Right.
Some places to visit in 2020. Hey, everybody be careful out there, but have a blessed and wonderful, joy-filled, and grace and mercy-filled Christmas. From Brent and Dave on 1430, everyone at KYKN, Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.